This is the Taco Boat Wellness Podcast with your host, your coach, your Everside Wellness Practitioner, Courtney Handelin. I love tacos and a good play on words as much as the next person. Okay, maybe a little bit more than the next person. But this podcast is about more than just that. Just like each taco can have a variety of toppings, so too is each person's path to wellness. Both tacos and wellness are customizable for each individual. And with each season, it may look a little bit different, and that's totally okay. In this podcast, you'll gain insight from providers here at our Waukesha Clinic and all across Everside Health. We'll even sprinkle in a few local community experts, all to tap into the many areas or toppings of wellness. So let's get this party started and taco boat wellness. Welcome back to the Taco Boat Wellness Podcast. This is episode number 42, and today I have with me a returning special guest, becoming one of my favorites for sure, Andy Mitchell. Thank you for joining us, Andy.
Okay, hold up. Before we go any further, we do want to give a quick disclaimer that this podcast is provided for educational and informational purposes only and does not constitute providing medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your doctor or other qualified health provider regarding a medical condition, especially keeping in mind that we're speaking in general terms and each individual is different. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something stated on this podcast. Neither Everside Health nor its employees nor any contributor to this podcast makes any representations expressed or implied with respect to the information provided herein or to its use.
Expert here.
Wonderful. I love it. It's always fun to come and do an episode.
Yeah. Oh, and I didn't even say in the beginning. So today, for those who are listening, they probably read the title, but we are talking about self-care as it relates to caregivers. And I guess really the reason I wanted to do this episode is because I don't know about you, but I meet with a lot of people who are caregivers, and they're struggling with taking care of their own health, partially because they are devoting so much time to other people in their life, whether it be, you know, aging parents or a spouse who's really sick, maybe even children, even regular healthy children that require a lot of attention. So we thought that this would be just a really good applicable episode for a lot of people. But let's start with, I guess, maybe the most basic of why is self-care so important? And maybe we can break it up to, like, why is it important first for everyone? And then if you want to further dive into why is it particularly also important for people who are caregivers.
Okay, wonderful. So the biggest thing with self-care is it really maintains our overall health. And so we do hear a lot of this, you know, take care of yourself, buy yourself nice little things, take bubble baths, relax. But self-care is really this full body experience. And so we are looking at kind of ways we need to, one, improve most of the time and then get into a maintenance level for our physical, emotional, and then even mental well-being. So that covers almost everything, our nutrition, resting, things like meditation, taking care of our mind. And even a really big piece of acknowledging and processing emotions. A lot of people, we kind of, you know, take those big emotions, we sit with them, we let them kind of fester, and then maybe they explode. Maybe we just keep burying them deeper and deeper. That is a huge piece of self-care. And we think of caregivers as a whole. Obviously, they're managing their own self. Typically, they're managing families, potentially work life if they're not a full-time caregiver at that point. And then having to also caregive for a whole nother human. I feel like I've seen a pretty big influx of caregivers for adult children recently. And so that's a whole piece of, you know, we raise our kids, they go off into the world, whether it's an injury or a disability that occurs, or then back in the home full time with parents. That's typically not the life trajectory we think as parents. And so that kind of throws everything on its head. And that being the biggest piece of, you know, we had a big change, life happens, and we have a whole additional change. And a lot of times those self-care, those caregivers are putting themselves on the back burner. And so that is that piece of everything's coming before them. Everyone else's needs are being met. And those kind of fall out the window. When we're doing that for short amount of time, short little pieces, that's okay. Like if, you know, the safety and the well-being of this other person is like dire need, like their hospitalization, transitioning back into the home if there's an injury. that is very hard to manage yourself and then manage them. But once they're in a more stable place, realizing, okay, I still need to take care of myself. And what does that look like for me?
Yeah, I think, you know, what really helps too is making it, like you said, if it's a short term, it's fine. But if it's long term, you need to figure out a way that you can make it work, even if it's short. You know, it might be that everything for you is less than it used to be or less than you want it to be, but it still has to exist. You know, in a lot of coaching sessions, I like to bring up the idea of put your own oxygen mask on first, you know, like on airplanes, put your oxygen mask on first before you help the person next to you. And really, because of like, if you put yours on, then you can help the person next to you and maybe two or three other people. But if you just reach to the child per se, I think that's how they use it as child. Like if you use the child next to you, like you maybe will get theirs on, maybe, hopefully, but that might be all you can do. Is that something that, I guess, how do you feel about that illustration?
No, I think that's really good. And it's probably one of the, and I think of analogies as a whole, probably one of the best analogies we have for one, physical safety. And then also the same thing for self-care. And so there's that piece of, I can only do so much for others if I'm not doing for myself.
Yeah.
And so we think of that dynamic of, you know, maybe for a year, 6 months, I can really give someone 100% of me as a caregiver. Eventually that's going to start dropping. Their care is dropping. My ability to take care of myself and them is now dropping. And a lot of times, you know, if it is short-term emergency level, like, you know, we have to do what we need to do to survive. But that's not a place where we can maintain. And that will start affecting our own physical health. But when we do allow ourselves to take care of others, and once that self-care is dropping off, we're going to see that in so many pieces of our life where our functioning is going out, or not going out, is getting less than, maybe sleep's a big thing. And then those eventually will translate into our self-care. Words are hard today. Our caregiving abilities.
I'm glad I'm not the only one. I'm struggling.
I know. I'm like, usually starting early on a Monday is good. Yeah. I usually think, but it's a rough one today.
Yeah. So, and I've noticed this too, where like, it may be going a little bit off of our script, our agenda here, but like, if I myself am a caregiver and even just thinking like as a mother, and let's say, take it to the next extreme and like a child's sick or my husband's sick. And so there's then extra time that I'm devoting to not my own routines. You're right. Like a short period is fine. But if it's an extended, like more than a week, I would say for myself, more than a week of getting pulled out of these routines that I have set up for myself that take care, you know, like walking my dog in the morning and doing yoga or Pilates or some type of exercise and, you know, drinking water, eating healthy, you know, all these things. If I have that for more than a week, honestly, where I can't do all those things that I like to do to take care of myself, I start getting really short tempered. And like you said, like not sleeping well and then not feeling well because I'm probably not moving my body. I'm maybe not eating as healthy. Not drinking as much water, I'm not sleeping as well. And it just turns into this really vicious cycle. I think, like you said, some people can maybe do it for a year, but that's probably even like a long stretch,
yes.
Depending on like how consistent it is. So when we think about these caregivers again, who are devoting so much time and energy to someone else, I mean, obviously they don't have as much time or energy for themselves. What tips, like, are there any tips that you can share that can make that possible for them to still take care of themselves?
Yes, absolutely. And so the biggest thing is kind of realizing how important self-care is. And so there's a lot of things, you know, I can do it tomorrow. I can do it next week. You can, but you might need more next week than if we had done it today. So being really realistic with, you know, your scheduling, whether that is you still are working in a role outside of caregiving and what that looks like, you know, is there an hour I can give myself during a medical appointment for them or once they're sleeping in the evening or if they take naps? So finding what we can do and when we can do it. I'm really big on if it's not on my calendar, it's not happening. And so even things where I'm doing like intentional individual time, I will put it on my calendar. So doing the same thing with self-care of, you know, we know whoever we're caregiving for is in bed to sleep by 8. Maybe they don't need overnight care. And so from 8 to 9, we can do something to take care of ourselves that feels very intentional. And that'll take some practice. You know, things that we did in our teens or young adulthood might not be the self-care we need anymore in our 30s, 40s, and 50s. That's okay. And so finding something that works, playing around with it until you find something that feels very intentional to you, feels like it really fills your cup and gives you some kind of, whether it's gratitude, connectedness to our mind and body, and doing something ideally daily, if we cannot, making it at least weekly and putting it on your calendar, your to-do list. It is going to be the same level of importance as getting all those other tasks done too.
Yeah. Well, and I like how in the beginning you said that sometimes we think of like bubble bath or like a gift for yourself, but like that's not always what self-care looks like. Like it can be as simple as sit outside for 5 minutes and enjoy the nice weather, or, you know, read, take some time to read a book that you like, eat your lunch not in front of your computer, you know, or meeting up with a friend for a cup of coffee or something like that, I think. Or maybe even thinking of, too, like as I talked out loud about, you know, being a parent, and then if there's something that's added on to that of like, what really fills my cup as part of my regular routine that's not been happening, and how can I bring that in? I think too, I might have said this, but and definitely said it in another podcast, but dropping the all or nothing thinking of like, so you can't go to your hour long yoga class 3 times a week, but maybe you can do a 5 minute yoga video like at home in your pajamas before bed, you know, something like that. So just making it adjust and fit to your schedule. But speaking of that, because the time is often the biggest issue, right? Well, obviously energy too. And well, there's a lot, but time seems to be the biggest thing for people who are suddenly have someone else's stuff on their plate. Any hacks for better time management?
Yes. So kind of a hack, kind of a self, an individual thing we have to do too, is setting boundaries and expectations for yourself. There are only so many hours in a day. There are so many. Yeah. So we can't get an extra hour to add in our self-care. We can't get an extra hour to go to the gym. And so being like, I've got these 24 hours. I'm hopefully going to sleep for 8 of them. So what am I doing with the other 16? I was like, is the math on that right? Yes.
The math is right. It sounds good.
And so, you know, when can I do it? And then again, like I mentioned before, being really intentional with that time. And so, you know, if we've got a self-care list and there's 10 things on there we love, we're going to spread those 10 things out over several weeks. We will not be able to do all of them on the same day, even in the same week. And making sure they are intentional and they really bring us joy. A couple other options, and this really is dependent upon health insurance, if you have flexible savings accounts, those kind of things. A lot of caregivers do typically have access through health insurance to respite programs. And so those look very different depending on, you know, who the patient would be at the time, their age, their functioning levels, where sometimes caregivers can come into the home if they're kind of on a full home health program and, you know, provide that care to where the caregiver can step out for an hour, even if it is to run errands or grocery shop, do those kind of things. I've seen some things with kind of kids and like the young adult population to where they kind of go do like a case management program during the week. And some of that respite care, you know, they're with a mental health or a physical health professional like OT or PT, and they're out doing things in their community where they're getting some time apart from caregiver, but still getting good care.
Right. Oh, that's a really good point to bring up, that the respite care, you know, as potentially a part of your insurance. And that's, really huge, I think, especially if you don't have like family around that could help out and give you a break, that can be a helpful space. I think it also pushes maybe a nod towards the importance of allowing yourself that time, like let others help. And like you said, maybe
you
say
no.
You
don't have to do it all.
Right. Yeah. You don't have to do it all. And just take more time to consider like what are things you can say no to or pass off to other people so that you can have some time for yourself or have less on your plate. So obviously when caregivers are like, even if they are saying no and they're taking time for themselves, burnout becomes a really real, a really big concern, especially if they've got, you know, a full-time job on top of it and maybe a lot of stress there. Are there any things that you recommend people kind of keep watch out for with burnout, whether it's themselves or if maybe you're a spouse to someone who is also a caregiver for, you know, being a caregiver for aging parent or something like that.
Okay. Yep. And so the biggest things, you know, we know our personalities very well. We know how we typically function under stress, when stress, you know, comes in and then it leaves would be the ideal situation. And so noticing any of those changes that might be related to our mood. So like irritability levels of like, you know, I'm typically not that short with my spouse or my children. And I really blew up over breakfast this morning because I didn't want to do, or I was upset about said interaction. And notice when we see those changes that, you know, they very much could be a one-off. That is okay. We all have bad days, bad moments. But then noticing if that becomes a trend for us and we're always really short in the morning and certain situations that used to not bother us now really bother us and kind of grind our gears. And so noticing some of those things, sleep and self-care are probably the first things that go out the door. When we're not very stressed, self-care just, it doesn't necessarily feel like self-care. It feels more about it's an activity I enjoy doing. It's just something I find joy in. And so I do go to the gym or I do go hiking. I do these things because they make me happy. So notice if we say they're a little more like extracurriculars before they need to be self-care, when those have totally dropped off and then we start seeing sleep either get worse or the other side of we're like oversleeping and it still doesn't feel like quality sleep. Those would be some of those things we're noticing of like, okay, life is a little different. And we could be on our way to burnout if we don't get things reeled back in.
Yeah. So when are there any things that you recommend for like when you might need to seek mental health support then with that burnout?
Absolutely. And so those big pieces we already talked about, you know, that irritability. And that would be, you know, not that right. We have a reason to be irritable. You know, we are irritable on anything and everything, like all the interactions, our existence sometimes even makes us irritable. The existence of other people maybe makes us irritable. So we are irritable everywhere. Like it is not turning off. We're not checking out of that headspace. That emotional exhaustion of like, no matter how much rest we get, no matter how much what feels like self-care we're doing, like it doesn't feel enough. We still feel this big disconnect between like, I'm doing all these things and I'm not feeling joy or happiness in any kind of aspect of life. A reduced sense of accomplishment. That would be, you know, maybe caregiving has always felt very fulfilling to us. And, you know, maybe we've been caregiving for years and this is something we find a lot of joy in. We really like helping people or a family member if it's family. And that just seems different or it feels like it's no longer there. And that may even go back to we're very irritable about our role as a caregiver, feeling a lot of either we feel a lot of guilt and shame of those feelings of that reduced sense of accomplishment. And then anytime we're getting into that space of like things feel like we were having depressive thoughts or behaviors, same thing with anxiety. And then distractibility is one of those that it can be chalked up to a lot of things. Poor sleep makes us distractible. Poor moods make us distractible. But then that goes back to that piece of self-care kind of with the airplane mask. If we're very distractible, we're probably unable to give the best care that we could be.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point, right?
Yeah.
And I think too, you know, sometimes just having like, obviously there's medications out there that can help and you can take short term if it's a depressed or anxiety sort of thing. But I think sometimes just having a regular scheduled appointment with like a counselor, that can be, you know, your own form of self-care. You have that time that's scheduled just for you to talk to someone who's trained to listen and help you kind of call out the talk that's not helpful and maybe give you some good resources. I think that's great. Okay. So just to kind of recap, avoiding burnout, keep doing those things, those self-care routines that are helpful, obviously, but then also pay attention to sleep and check in with your moods and ability to handle situations just to make sure that you're not just constantly irritable. And then noticing that if you are emotionally exhausted and you're constantly irritable, just reduce sense of joy from these things, then it might be time to check in seek some mental health support. I love that. Let's see, any other tools that you recommend or resources that you want to share on the subject?
Yes. And so I think I've talked about the treat yourself. I'm very much a treat myself kind of person. I get it. But self-care is going to be ongoing. You know, it shouldn't be the same through all phases of life. It should look different. It should even feel different. It should definitely fulfill different pieces of us depending on where we are. And take a lot of time to, well, sorry, you don't have a lot of time. Try to make time to experiment with what works. If we do something and maybe it gives us like a 4 out of 10 on like accomplishment or feeling good, that's probably not the self-care that we're going to benefit the most from. We want to find something that is like almost always making us feel significantly better. And even on our worst days is making us feel like moderately better. And then again, that'll be kind of variable depending on, where we are when we start the self-care. A lot of us have big to-do lists. And so we sit down to do some self-care. That might feel very hard to lean into it. It's great for our health, physical body, and mental health as well. And then, change it as we need. Like it shouldn't be the same thing forever. That's okay. That piece of prioritizing self-care is not always going to be easy. But when we consistently do it and it's part of our routine, it is always something that's on our to-do list, it's going to give us better health, physically, emotionally, as well as it's going to be able to improve the care we're giving to whoever we're caregiving for.
Yeah,
And I did share
that's.
some books with you too.
Oh, yeah. Can you tell our listeners what those books are? I love those, look really interesting to me.
Yes. And so Already Toast is written by a caregiver, who is caregiving in America. So we think of there are a lot of other countries and cultures that do a lot better with medical care in general. And so it's looking at the dynamic of when family members have to caregive in the US, a lot of times they do have to quit their jobs because insurance does not cover a lot of things. And so that itself already being a financial burden and a cost, and then having to quit full-time work to caregive. And so they look at all those pieces of burnout, and as a country, we're not doing a great job, but like their personal story. So it's very relatable to caregivers of like,
Yeah, I've got it.
I understand this, and like I'm going through this same thing. The next one is a little more optimistic. It is like an insight encouragement book for caregivers. And so it literally goes through the whole dynamic of being a caregiver in different roles. And then also looking at how do we make it better right now? So whether it is self-care tips, it is, there's a reason for the season in life kind of thing. It's very, very optimistic and being really intentional with our language, and how we think about being a caregiver, and how, for some people that will be a lifetime role for them, depending on who they're caregiving for. And then others, again, it will be a season or a phase of life, and we will be back to maybe our full-time job or other kind of projects that we were doing prior to caregiving full-time.
Yeah, that sounds like a really helpful book. We're already stronger than we look. So I will share links for both of those in the show notes. I think too, I just discovered an app that I think is available to anyone, but in particular through our insurance, we have access to it for free. But it's called Able To. I don't know if you've ever looked at it. I think it used to be Sanvelo. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. But it has you can do a couple of different things. I'm sure there's lots of apps out there like this. I know there are. But you can do like a mood check-in. And kind of track your moods, and
Okay.
you can track a habit on it too, like
Oh, nice.
multiple habits, obviously related to self-care, which could be like sleep, like going to bed on time, having a good bedtime routine, or drinking so much water, taking a walk, exercise, all those different things. And then you can also do, there's meditations on it too.
Okay,
So
wonderful.
I thought that that was kind of a helpful app, whether it's something you use all the time or just short term when you're struggling with the self-care. But obviously things, other apps like the Calm app, I think are great for if you just need a little bit of a couple minutes to yourself. There's a million meditation apps out there. And of course our listeners can reach out to me if they want some more recommendations, but there's a ton. And I don't think we said this yet, which is actually kind of surprising. But EAP can be a
Oh,
great
yes.
resource. And that there might, I wonder even if there's like some respite stuff in there. But there's also Everside has that Community Care Connect, which is also a good resource. I'll link that into the show notes as well. But definitely some resources there, local, like for people who don't know, you can type in your zip code and find different resources for like housing, food, financial help. And I guess I would assume that there could even be things like if you are struggling to get your aging parent to their appointments, and maybe you work not really near them, and you can't afford to take the amount of time it takes off of work to like go to their house and bring them to the appointment, but it would save you time if you could just meet them at their appointment. Like, I think there's services like that on there, like the driving people to appointments, yes. Stuff like that. I could be wrong.
And that actually looks pretty typical for that to be part of some EAP stuff. I've looked at some things while we've been here. And so it looks like those, so they kind of frame it as like respite and then like caregiving support services. And so those could even be in the space of like, it would be, you know, short on time, caregiver groups where you can go, get tips, meet other people that are like yourself, maybe going through some of the same things. So actual support groups plus getting respite care through EAP. So that looks like that's pretty on trend for a lot of companies.
Awesome. Yeah. And I think that's just so helpful. Sometimes it's just nice to be like validated, you know, and know that you're not alone in something and other people and share tips of how you make it work. You know, that can be really helpful. Well, is there anything else, Andy, that we didn't talk about that you would like to share?
Not a ton, not much. Other than like, just keep working at self-care. Like it will forever be a thing. Prioritize it, put it on your calendar, your to-do list, and be intentional with it.
Yeah, right. I love that. Be intentional with it. And even if it's just for a minute in the day, a couple minutes to yourself. Awesome. Well, thank you for joining me today, Andy. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. And hopefully this will help give you some inspiration, especially if you're a caregiver, to make a little bit more time for yourself or maybe reach out for help. Whether it be with family or a mental health provider.
Yes. Wonderful. Thank you for having me again.
Yeah. Thanks for joining.
I'm so glad we got to talk about wellness today. And I'm especially thankful for you, our audience. Thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions from this episode, please feel free to shoot me an email. For our Waukesha Everside members, if you would like to chat about how the concepts you heard in this episode can fit into your own personal taco of life, call to schedule a coaching appointment. If you really love this episode, be sure to give us 5 stars and share it with a friend. Everyone can find us on Facebook and YouTube at Waukesha Employee Health and Wellness. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from so you never miss an episode. See you on the first Tuesday of every month for Taco Tuesday. Until then, bye!